want us to think about Peter and just what he's went through in just the last, think about Friday evening, I'll never deny you, Lord. And then there he is in the courtyard of the high priest, and a little servant girl recognizes him and say, hey, weren't you with him? And no, he denies the Lord, and he goes out. In fact, by the time that Jesus crucified, they all fled. Where were the disciples? They fled and ran, and in fear was worrying that it would happen to them. And then we know that after the resurrection that Jesus says, go tell the disciples and Peter. He knew that Peter had went through a really rough time through his denial. And reinstates him. If you remember, Peter gets tired and says, I'll go fishing. Takes them all, and they go out a fishing, and they catch a thing. And there was Jesus on the beach cooking them breakfast. He said, Peter, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Just a few, it's not going to be long, just a few days, the Holy Spirit comes upon this group of men in Jerusalem, and with power, this same man that had denied Jesus steps out in Acts 2 and preaches under the power of the Holy Spirit, and thousands, even the group that had crucified him, comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior. What was the difference? The resurrection. The resurrection makes a difference. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. If Christ is not raised, we might as well go ahead and go eat breakfast because we're wasting our time. But because he's raised, we have hope and we gather here. Look around. Good-looking group here this morning early. Why do we gather? Because we have hope in Jesus Christ. But because of his resurrection, we find this eternal hope that we'll see Peter will talk about. Look at 1 Peter 1. And we'll be looking at 3 through 9. We're not going to have PowerPoints this morning. We're just going to concentrate on the Word. I want you to think about the resurrection and what it means to you this morning. Peter was a man of basics. I like that. In fact, one of my great heroes I like in college basketball, I'm a big college basketball fan, John Wooden. If you guys know his story, won 10 national championships, probably never be duplicated again. UCLA Bruin, they called him the Wizard from Westwood. He hated that. Why? He was a devout Christian. His player said he never said one time did he cuss them, give a one cuss word. Never did he do any of those. He was a man of great integrity, a man that was reminded all the time he carried a little cross in his pocket that he could remember the only reason for his success was the cross, he said. Of Christ. But he was a man of basics. Listen to what he'd do. Every freshman class that came into UCLA, you know what he said? This is the way you put your socks on properly. A man of basics. Vince Lombardi's known every spring training. You know what he'd do? This is a football. A man of basics. I want you to know something. This is the Word of God this morning. We need to get back to the basics if we're going to be what God's called us to be. We need to get back in the Word. This is the Word of God, and these are the stories that we'll hear today. We'll see Peter as he's... What's this whole transformation that Peter's taken and how he's writing now this letter. He wrote two letters, and he's writing to the scattered believers all around. And you know what? They were under intense persecution. I want to ask you this morning, wonder if you would be here if you thought grenades could be lobbed in the window. Wonder how many of us would meet if we thought that it would cost our life. And yet this morning, all around this world, even today, 2017, there's believers that meet under those conditions. Boy, I tell you what, it would weed out, wouldn't it? It would weed a lot of us out on where we really stood or not. These are a group he's writing to a church that's scattered all over the place, and they're under intense persecution because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And yet he's going to encourage them, and he's going to speak to them this morning, and he's going to really talk about a hope. I've titled this Easter Hope this morning. This is Easter Hope. We're gathered because we have a hope that the world can never take away from us. We have something that's anchored in an eternal thing that happened years ago, a historic event 2017 years ago. Christ was crucified, and yet he resurrected. Historically, in time and space, it took place. And yet it gives us hope even today, 2017 years later, and will continue to give hope until he returns, by the way, or we go on to be with him. Peter, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Let's look at that in our scripture. If you've got that turn, and let's stand to our feet and reverence the reading of God's Word. 1 Peter 3 through 9. The Word of God says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade, always reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if indeed you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Let's pray. Father, for just a few moments, thank you. I thank you for your word. I pray may your word go forth for your glory in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want you to see something about this Easter hope this morning. This Easter hope that I pray that each and every person in here has. If we've received Christ as our Savior, we've turned to Him in belief, we have the Easter hope this morning. I want you to see, first of all, that it's anchored in the past. Well, you say, look at verses 3. Look at verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And so here's the deal. We know that Peter had denied. We know that Peter went through this up and down. But then when he got a hold of it and the Holy Spirit come upon him, that was the anchor that he had. That was the hope that he had. That was the power that he had. But it was anchored in a past event in that Christ's resurrection. Do you understand that the reason that we're here this morning, hopefully, is not because we had to, but because we get to because of the resurrection and what Christ has done in our own heart? It's anchored in a past event. But I want us to know that Peter made this statement in Acts 2 when he said, "This Jesus God has raised up in which we are all witnesses." Peter said we witnessed His resurrection. They had witnessed His death, by the way. They had seen Him be crucified. Can you imagine the hopelessness of that group of men and disciples when they seen Jesus, the one they thought was their Messiah, crucified? God died on a cross? Can you imagine the hopelessness? Hope would be lost, wouldn't it? And yet we know that they were devastated that Friday night and that Saturday. Can you imagine them huddling up together worried that it was going to happen to them too, not knowing what to do next? Scratching their head, wondering. At any time, they could hear the mob come for them. Hopeless. Hopelessness. Do you know that you live in that world today? You're surrounded by people every day that really don't have hope. They find hope in what? The things of this world. There's really no hope there at all, by the way. In fact, it drives to despair. It drives people to do things that they never do. Take their own lives. You see that happen all the time. It's people that don't have hope. And yet we're called to take that hope. You know that people can't live long without it, by the way. Have you ever been around somebody that's lost hope? Don't make it very long. I've seen people that fighting cancer and have that hope of, hey, we're going to defeat this, and seen many people do that. But yet, I've also seen people that once they got to a place that they just knew that the fight was gone, they gave up, and it didn't last very long. But there's a hope that comes from Christ that lasts eternally. And Peter's, he's writing to these people that are being persecuted, that could lose their life, that could be in despair often. And world, listen, this life can bring us despair. Can we all say amen to that this morning? It can bring times of intense pain and struggles because we live in that fallen world. And we do have, even though that we're saved, we do have this flesh, and we talk about it warring. And so there's a constant thing. There are battles and there are hardships that we go through. But there's something that cannot be moved also if we're a child of God. And that we have to focus on that, keep our focus. And Peter's, he's encouraging this group of believers that are under this intense persecution that you have this anchor that holds. And he says, it's an anchor in the past where he says, who according to his abundant mercy, it's not based on this feeling or its emotion, but it's based upon the grace and mercy of God, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The hope is based on the mercy and grace of the living Lord. Christ is alive. He's not dead. You don't serve a dead Savior. You serve a living Savior today. That's why we sing, He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And He's imminent. If you're a child of God, He's imminent in your life. You have somebody that sticks closer than a brother, that you can reach out to at any moment. You're never alone. He said, I'd never leave you or forsake you. He gives you all the power that you need to face the trials of this life. And Peter realized that. As Christians, we've been removed from the realm of hopelessness. No such thing as a hopeless Christian. Been removed from that. And he's filled us with this hope that we have. We can't decide, listen, I know the self-help of the world says you've just got to do better. You've got to make yourself better. How does that work? Do we just purpose that we're going to do better? That doesn't last very long when it comes to spiritual things. We can do better. There's a lot of good people that help and feed the homeless and take care and all that. But here, if it's not based upon Christ and what Christ has done, what good is it besides just humanly being good to one another? But when it's based on the things of Jesus and this hope that He gives, it helps people come from the hopelessness of this world into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and gives the lost world hope. The light shines in the darkness. That's what Easter is about. I love it. It's based on a new birth. Has anybody had that new birth this morning? Have you come to know Christ? I don't know about you, but I know what it is to be lost. I remember. I haven't forgotten what it was to live in this world and the things of this world. 28 years old before I came to know Him. I should have died and went to hell many times. Yet He saved me. Maybe your pastor. Ain't that funny this morning? That's Easter hope. He's begotten us, it says there in the Scripture in verse 3. He's begotten us. That's the birth, the new birth that He says. You know, when that old Nicodemus comes in John 3, you know, and he's coming and he's searching Jesus out, wants to know what he can do to receive eternal life. And what does Christ say to him? You must be born again. We use these words. What does it mean? We must be born again. We must come realize we're a sinner and we turn to Christ and His sacrifice on a cross for our sin. And we admit our sins and we confess our sins and we turn away from our sins to Him. And it says that this birth takes place. Well, I could care less before, but now I do. I love you. How can I say I love you? Because Jesus loved me. He places His love within us and the Holy Spirit comes and it dwells within us. And that's the motor that runs us. That's the hope that cannot be taken away from us. Because of this living hope, because Jesus is alive, therefore I'm alive. I'm alive because He's alive. I'm no longer the same person that I was. They weren't either. They were no longer the same people. I can decide to do better, but I can't make myself a Christian. Only the Holy Spirit of God can do that in a person. When He convicts a person of their soul and they turn to Him. In faith and repentance, that's how we're new birth. That's why the new birth comes apart. This hope, Easter hope, is anchored in the past, but listen, it's active in the present. Look, I'm gonna take 5A and the 6 and 7A, and because we'll see lastly in 8. Listen to what it says. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that is the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible, and full of glory. It's not just anchored in the past, but do you not understand that you have the presence and power for today? April 16, 2017, you have that power. You have this hope, this Easter hope. And it's enough to see and help you above yourself in your present situation. Listen, that's hope. It's active and it's in the present. He says, yes, I want you to understand there is this hope. And it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. The same faith that saves us sustains us. Talk about the gospel is not just a one-time event that we come forward or we are at home and we pray to receive Christ, but it's an ongoing, everyday, present reality in our lives that gives us power to overcome temptations and sin. It gives us power to do the work and the gifts that God has called us to use in this body. It's a present, active thing that goes on in our life. This hope that comes through the gospel. The scattered believers are under this. Can you imagine the persecution that they're under? For what? For their faith. It's easy to say, I love Jesus when you ain't being persecuted, ain't it? It's another thing. We were just talking last night about the persecuted church. We went to Vietnam. 2005 was when we met with the persecuted church. Central Highlands was just, it's terrible. Still bad, but not quite as bad as it has been because of westernization and the freedom of religion that's came into that country, but at that time, very oppressed. And we met in a room, in a little hotel room, I'll never forget it, with these group of underground church, persecuted church. They were scarred. They were beaten. I told Sandy when we talked last night, I'll never forget, an 18-year-old man, kid, had 5 churches. They beat him to death. He didn't even have a moped to get around, but he was preaching Christ. And every time the door would open, they would hide. They'd take their Bibles and like this. And they, what I came to find out is there we were. They were treating us like superstars. I ain't never felt so inadequate in all my life. Why? Because what would they have done? Maybe kicked us out of the country? They would have killed them. They was putting their life on the line to be there with me and Sandy. To meet with us in that motel room. Just wanted to meet some brothers and sisters in Christ. And be encouraged by us. I never felt so inadequate. That goes on every day. People are persecuted for their faith. It's easy to say, oh, I love Jesus, when it ain't costing us nothing. Peter's writing to a group of people that knew what it was to hunker down when they heard the doors open. He says that faith gives us hope, but it also gives us joy. Listen to what he says, listen. In this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. He knew they were under intense persecution. How can you have joy in the midst of somebody trying to take your life? See, we equate and we talk about, we make happiness joy. Here in America, we want to be happy. Pursuit of happiness, that's one of our inalienable rights. joy is not stemmed on our happiness. Happiness stems on situation. Well, I'm just not happy anymore. What does that mean? Please, seriously, I'm just not happy anymore. What is your happiness being based on? Your situation? Joy comes from the Lord. And it's something that can never be taken away. You said, what are you talking about? In the midst of whatever you face. In the midst of whatever persecution you might come up against. In the midst of whatever comes into your life, you can have joy. And it says, and it can be an inexpressible joy. It's what the Scripture tells us. Joy in the midst of the storm. This is active and a present hope. Yes, it's anchored in the past, but it's active and present today in our lives. It brings us comfort. In fact, it says the trials, those trials that they're going to, is what proves their mettle. It says that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. There's something more, listen to me please this morning, something more precious than our things today, our gold, that which we strive for and work for. Something much more precious than that. That's what he's saying. Because in the midst of those trials and tribulations, I'm going to promise you this, that gold didn't bring them much comfort. But the thought of them knowing their Savior and Him being present with them did. He's saying it's much more. I love it. It says gold being tried by fire, because we know that when gold is cooked in the impurities, the dross of the impurities of gold is cooked off and it's scraped off the top. And the crucible, and where they cook the gold, is where the purity comes forth. The crucible of our life and the hardships that we face is where the impurities are cooked off. Keeping our eye on the prize, not on how much stuff we can accumulate, is the key. It says, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory. These impurities are being cooked off in these hardships, and it brings praise to our lips and joy to our life. It's through the tough areas that Christ receives the praise, glory, and honor. He said, whom, I love this statement where he says, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. You know what he said? Hey, listen, my faith, I've not seen the risen Lord yet. Okay? I've not seen him, but have I experienced him? You better believe it. You better believe it. How do I know? I know what I used to be. I'm glad you don't. I've experienced a risen Savior. Not seen Him by my eyes, but one of these days the trumpet's going to sound, the Scripture says. You can count on this, by the way. This is the truth that stands when all else fails. The trumpet's going to sound. And it says the dead in Christ, just like He resurrected this morning, what we're celebrating, the dead in Christ is going to rise first. And all those that are left, we're going to join Him in the air. Guess what? We're all going to die. It might be a twinkling of an eye that you change on the way up, but flesh and blood will not enter heaven, by the way. And I'm going to go to be with my Savior forever and ever and ever. And I promise you this, it's not going to be this little, oh, praise Jesus. It's going to be, woo! Better, listen, better than the national championship last Monday night. Woo! I'm going to be before my Savior, and I'm going to worship Him forever and ever, and you're going to be stuck with me. Told Sandy, I said, I'll be waiting on you, baby. You just look, I'll be the one shouting when you come on through. You better get excited, because heaven's going to be an exciting place. It's not sitting around on some harp drumming. It's a lot more than that, I promise you that. And it's excitement. And he says it's joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory, that old song. It's present tense. You can have joy for the journey today. Why? Because we have a hope anchored in the past but active in the present. But lastly, it's anticipating the future. We've already, we look forward to the future. Why? to an inheritance, look at 4, 5, and 9, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. See, our inheritance is not in, we're not looking and putting all our stock in a retirement or a 401k, which, by the way, you will leave behind when you leave this old world. But we're putting our inheritance in something that cannot, that's eternal, that can never be taken away. It don't even matter what the stock market does. It's a joy. Listen, this is an inheritance that only comes through Christ. And I'm going to tell you, in fact, I believe that all the earthly pleasures that we have and enjoy are just, it's just to arouse a longing that's in the future and situated in the future. Heaven, listen, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the glorious riches that are laid up in heaven. You can't even comprehend the goodness of it. Oh, we make it streets of gold and all this stuff. We make it down to earthly things. Listen, that ain't even going to touch it. What heaven is and the future hope. And we anticipate this future coming. And I love that. We can understand when Paul wrote in Philippians, to live is Christ and to die is what? Gain. Why do I ever fear death? When I slip out of this body, I'm in the presence of Jesus Christ because of what He's done for me. So really, it's just a bee that buzzes with no stinger. Death is. It can't hurt you. Why? Because of what Jesus has done and what we celebrate today. I love this. He says our inheritance, He's our joy. He's our prize. He's our inheritance through Christ. And it never fades, is what it says in verse 4. And if we have this living hope, we have all that we need to accomplish what God's called us to do. We've seen and been around and got to see a lot of different religions around the world. We've seen the Hindu temples in India, just thousands of them on the sides of the hills. We've seen the Buddhist shrines in the streets, and they put fruit in them, and they say, you know, if you put fruit out long enough, guess what it does? It'll rot, or something's going to eat it. And they say that's they're sacrificing it to their god. And here's the deal: it's sad. Why is it sad? Because man creates a religion that tries to close the gap between God and man. There's a gap. Okay, it's called sin. So he tries to close it. He tries to work. He tries to earn. He tries to do good. Listen, Christianity is not that. In fact, it's man saying, I can't, but God can. God reached down in Christianity, which is not a religion but a relationship. God reached down, and what man couldn't do, God did on a cross. He gave his life on Calvary. The perfect, spotless Son of God. Why did he do that? For your sin. Why? Because your sin came with a cost and a price. This. God had to die in our place. The perfect Lamb of God sacrificed for our sins. He died. They placed him in a tomb. But this morning, praise God, he arose. He arose. Why? That those that would turn to that cross, say, you know what? In my sin, I realize you died for me. That will turn to that Savior. Says, receive eternal life. Whosoever will, let him come. That's what the Scripture says. There's a hope that anticipates the future. Death is imminent. Why? It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, judgment. Death is imminent. Why would we never prepare for it? Why would we just go through life with blinders on, never think about eternity? This life is a small blip to the real life, eternity. 1 billion years from now, we'll be alive. Somewhere. Heaven or hell. That's what the Scripture says. This is not make-believe. It's not something that Hollywood made up. This is thus says the Word of God. A billion years from now, everybody in this room, whether lost or saved, will be alive. But there's only two places, heaven or hell. And because of what Christ has done and what we celebrate today, you can have hope. It doesn't have to end with saying, you know what? I don't understand. I don't believe. When you don't believe, you choose not to, by the way. The Scripture says it's not that you can't know, it's what you will not know. It's what you choose to reject. But there's a living hope. April 16th, 2017 is the time. Now's the time. Today's the appointed day. If you don't know Christ, to have this Easter hope this morning. And all of those of us that do, it should be a great time of celebration when we grasp what Christ has done for us. We should be a people of great hope. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to close right now, but we're going to walk outside into the parking lot, all right? And I want us all to gather around for just a moment, and we'll pray together. We'll go right out here, and we'll end our sunrise service outside, okay? We can handle just a few minutes, can't we? So let's all make our way out in the parking lot, and we'll gather around and finish.